Some of you are going to find this a bit incredulous, but here's something that federal, state, and local governments all tell us to do that we should actually listen to. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You've heard about the health benefits of increasing plant-based nutrients into your diet, but how can you easily consume all the fruits and veggies needed? Well, it's easy. By adding grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity into your meals. Grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity is a power blend that has 31 fruits and vegetables in every scoop. Organic vegetables, super greens, super fruits, and super sprouts. It is fortified with essential vitamins plus an immunity boost. And right now, you can get a free 2-week supply of grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity by just paying $8.95 for the shipping and handling. And not only that, you'll also get a free frother to quickly whip up your healthy and nutritious grown American drink. Go to grownamericansuperfood.com/John and order today.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
This is SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Joe Biden just wrapped up a heck of a speech. A lot of surprises, a lot of things we could have expected. Many high notes, a lot of rancor in the room. If Mike Johnson was hoping his caucus would behave themselves, well, they showed how obedient they are to him. A lot of great lines. We'll be playing you some of our favorite clips from it and want to know what you guys thought about everything. We'll be joined very shortly by Nara Hawk and in the next hour by Congressman Wiley Nickel of the great state of North Carolina. Let's go to the phones right now because I've been talking all night. Let's say hello to Todd in Massachusetts. Todd on line 5. Welcome. You're on Progress.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Great, sir. How are you?
Good, good. I usually listen to you early in the morning, so it's the first time I get a chance to talk to you live.
I'm always honored. Thank you so much. When the folks who listen to the day stay up late with us, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, so I'm incredibly excited. I can't get over his energy. I hope to have that energy at his age.
It's right.
Just, I think he's showing a lot of people who he is tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really shows the power of having a healthy diet and exercise regimen through your 50s, 60s, and 70s, what we saw there tonight. It's a reason why Paul McCartney can do a 3-hour show or Jagger and Richards can do a 3-hour show. And I think, you know, in the case of Biden, this is a man who's had a stutter his whole life and has to actually really be extra relaxed when he speaks. So what was the high point for you of the speech?
I think the very end, he got nice and loud. Talking about how proud he is of America and what we stand for. And I just can't get over the difference. I don't know if he looks incredible because of the person he is or because of how terrible the person he's running against is.
I mean, it's both, I think. You know, he's not hiding hiding that he's old, and he is old, but my God, he's sharp. My God, he's got a great command of the issues. And I thought he acquitted himself beautifully tonight.
Yep, I thought he did great, and I really enjoyed Mike Johnson because it looked like every once in a while he was trying to hide how much he agreed with Biden. He wanted to make it look too nice towards Biden.
Well, you know, if Mike Johnson acts too much like an adult, he could get taken out by his own caucus. So, yeah, it's very dangerous for him. He can't, if he runs the risk of looking like he's working with the other side to improve the lives of Americans, that's how you lose your job in this Republican Party.
Right. Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting what happens tomorrow morning, what type of phone calls he gets.
I agree. And he could not keep his caucus to behave. I know that impulse control isn't Marjorie Taylor Greene's strong suit, but still, I mean, the fact that we all know that Mike Johnson asked them to behave is because Mike Johnson leaked that he asked them to behave and they did not.
Yes.
Yeah. Todd, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it.
All right, thank you, John.
Thank you. Call up anytime. Stay up late with us now and then, but thank you for listening in the daytime. Let's go to Sean in California on line 4. Sean, thank you so much for waiting on hold. You're on Progress.
Hey, Brother John. So, right, you know, what Joe Biden just did, Sleepy Joe. Now, He just did a parking lot ass-whooping on Republicans. And by the way, if you did watch Tiny Brain Mike Johnson behind him, right? We've all watched people listening to this show, you know, State of the Unions. And there's these times where people stand up and clap and all that. The problem is, I mean, even the last caller made a point, too, and I totally agree. Like, there are times like, oh, my God, how can I not stand up to that? But he didn't, because he kept looking. See, I pay so much attention. He's looking out to somebody, I don't know who it was, to give him the key. And that's so sad. What a tiny brain Johnson.
What does that mean? So he's looking for someone to give him the key. What are you talking about? Explain. Break that down.
Oh, the key to stand up.
The key
to stand up and clap. And he only did it twice, which is so funny, because one of them was like, you know, for black folks. I was like, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot. The memo went out. Donald bin Laden put that fake picture of him with black people out to all these people.
Let's be fair, Sean. Donald Trump himself didn't actually do that. I think they're hilarious and awful, but it wasn't Trump who did that. It was his evil elves from the South Pole who did it. So Donald, but I get what you're saying.
Well, yeah. It was his supporters. It's
Trump supporters. Yes. Trump himself didn't put it out.
That's his team.
Look, it pains me to have to be fair to Donald Trump, but I got to do it. So no worries.
Oh, okay. Well, don't be, because that's his team. And this team could take down our fucking country. And Joe Biden just did a parking lot ass whooping on Republicans all across the board. All across the board. A matter of fact, Joe Biden is more fucking ready to rock and roll than anybody in the Republican Party. His brain is settled perfect. He was there giving it. He laid it out. He laid it out perfectly. And I really get tired of this old stuff, too, by the way. And you know why? Because our country's on the fucking line, and people are talking about that instead of what the fuck you gonna do. And what did he do? He told everyone what he fucking did.
It's rather telling, Sean, that Donald Trump, who's watching this from his retirement home in Florida, was posting on Filth Social all about Biden's coughing and how no one should shake Biden's hand as he leaves the room. Not a lot of substance to Donald Trump's critiques, just old. And, you know, they're both old. But I'll take the old guy who needs another nap over the old guy who needs another defense attorney, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, the old guy right now just gave, what, an hour and a half plus, whatever he did. Perfect. On point, and nailed the other side, and they had no rebuttal, and they didn't bring Donald bin Laden in. Where's that coward? He should have walked in the chamber if he had some fucking balls.
No. It's much better. You don't want Trump to be there. Then it would be all about Trump, and we wouldn't be talking about the speech. No, it's bad enough Marjorie Taylor Greene is there.
He wasn't that smart, but what I'm saying is if he would have come in there, he has nothing to say, John.
Neither
do the Republicans. But if we don't win this election, no one's going to be making jokes. Okay, I'm just telling you. It's not going to be that. So what I'm saying is he pointed out everything that is wrong with the Republican Party without saying it like I would say it, which
yes.
I agree. I'm a little, you know, I kicked that ass like really hard, but he did it right. He did it right.
And, I agree.
And he just made them look stupid. And now no one's going to give that or the immigration thing. He killed them on immigration. That was the thing. The only thing I want him to do, brother, and other callers have said it, we've all been saying it, I want him to put the dark glasses on at the end. And just fucking do a, you know what I mean?
The little gimmicks are for the campaign ads. He had to be presidential here. The whole thing was a big campaign ad, but I think the shtick can go elsewhere. This is about the decorum of the, and it's about drawing a contrast between himself and the Marjorie Taylor Greens. I don't think he wants to go playing it cute. But did you notice, Sean, Republicans wouldn't stand up for giving public school teachers a raise, wouldn't stand up for the minimum wage. I mean, at least pretend you care. And he talked about a ban on assault weapons, a ban on high capacity magazines, a ban on AI voice imitation. Didn't say the word ceasefire, which I was kind of hoping to hear, but I want to go to our next guest. And Sean, thank you so much for calling. It's a pleasure to hear from you. We'll be getting everyone's calls tonight. Nara Hawk is an American culture and policy commentator who spent years in the trenches of the nation's most competitive campaigns and in the halls of government working to resolve global challenges. She's a seasoned communications strategist and a dynamite broadcaster who's graced our airwaves many times and done some great hosting on SiriusXM. Nara Hawk, welcome back 2 days after Super Tuesday. It's such a pleasure to have you with us again.
It is so good to be back with you, John, and what an interesting night we're talking about.
Really interesting. You know, this is just, I'm having deja vu to 2 days ago when you were here and we thought, wow, it was such a predictable Super Tuesday and yet so much to talk about. I felt the same way tonight. We knew the points this president was going to hit. We knew what he would prioritize. And yet still, it was a speech full of many surprises and a lot of really exciting and dramatic moments. What are your initial takeaways?
I mean, he came right out the gate with the Hitler reference, which I didn't think we were supposed to do ever, but it worked, right? This idea of calling back to this this period in the American imagination of what it was like to compete with fascism and all of the bad things and be the beacon for democracy on the world stage and to stand up for what that means. And it really set the tone for the evening of what this battle means. But also, this was a campaign speech. I mean, he was presidential, but referenced his opponent and the previous president in ways that we typically don't see happen at the State of the Union. And
it's true.
It worked. It definitely worked. But I was pleasantly surprised because, like you said, Super Tuesday effectively solidified that this is a binary choice now between Biden and Trump. And I'm glad Biden didn't shy away from that. He leaned into it. You know, he's talking like a president who has to defend his progress and what he can do. And I really like that section also. This is also early on where he talked about how the greatest story that hasn't been told. And we really do forget what it's like to wake up every day in this post-COVID, post-Trump era, and not be freaked out about what crazy bonkers thing is going to be said and just not living with this constant anxiety. And that's what getting rid of Trump has done for us, in addition to all these other great things he listed. And last but not least, the full-throated support for abortion rights. Listen, I will take that from that Irish Catholic man who was 80 years old. I'm like, thank you. You are exactly the kind of person who needs to be advocating for women's right to choose.
Exactly. You know what? And that's, I think, in many ways, Biden's greatest strength that they still don't talk about, that he represents a really significant part of the American population that never get attention. And that is old people who have grown and evolved with the times, as opposed to old people who pride themselves on not growing. You always hear, oh, old granddad's set in his ways. Whenever I hear that, I think, oh, so you're saying granddad lived through civil rights and lived through women's equality and lived through LGBT equality struggles and learned nothing, right? Set in his ways. Joe Biden, and I wish they talk about this, he speaks for the fact that there are old white guys who get it, or at least try to get it. And you're right about the strangeness of his predecessor. This is only the second time this has happened. The first time was when President Benjamin Harrison was running against his predecessor, Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland being the only president to serve two non-consecutive terms.
And hopefully he will be the only president to serve
exactly
two non-consecutive terms. We're going to keep that as a data point for history and not modern era. But I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, granted, Republicans had set the bar so low there, you know, in their conversation about age and dementia. I'm like, OK, well, he just had to deliver a speech
at this point. That's it.
That's backfiring on them. Overall, I mean, it makes me feel a lot better about heading into, you know, 2.0 version of what we experienced 4 years ago.
You're right. And in many ways, Joe Biden has the same sort of advantage that George W. Bush had. I mean, George W. Bush was truly a dim bulb. But the fact was, we all talked about it so much that when it came time for debates or a State of the Union address, all Bush had to do was show up and not drool. And people would say how presidential he was. I think Biden kind of likes how much we as a population and our media culture are addicted to underestimating him. It allows them to come up there and knock it out of the park with relative ease.
I think he relishes the challenge, and he's always been a guy who feeds off of the energy in a room. These Rose Garden or White House podium events are not his thing as much as, I mean, you saw it. I mean, my God, I was like, can we please make it down the aisle, please? Can you just stop talking?
I know, it took forever.
We started. And did you
27 minutes, Nara? 27 minutes. I was talking by myself, waiting for Biden to begin the speech. I'm glad I had a lot of copy prepared. Yeah.
Ooh. Did you see Marjorie Taylor Greene like trying to hand him a button? Like, she's just so. Yeah. Like, there is no social grace about her at all, about a moment or anything. She's just standing there with her like MAGA hat and all red, and she's handing him a button, and she says to him, "Say your name, Mr. President. Say your name." I'm like, oh my God.
No, say her name. Say her name. She was holding holding her phone in her hand, filming Joe Biden as he walked down the aisle. And she was saying, say her name, meaning Laken Riley, who Biden actually did mention. And of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene went and said, well, his policies killed her and he didn't say her name right. And he's a disgrace. She violated the rules of the House by wearing campaign gear on the floor.
Yeah.
Again, Biden only benefits by the contrasts. I have to ask you about the foreign policy angle of the speech, though.
Yes,
totally goofy. But let's get away from domestic morons and go to foreign policy. It was interesting seeing, like many, how he would address Ukraine, how he would address Israel, Gaza, and bringing the Israeli hostages home got the first bipartisan standing ovation. Not so much when he mentioned 30,000 Palestinians killed. He got heckled on that line, and not a universal praise for him trying to build a pier to deliver aid. But he failed to call for a ceasefire, but did say a two-state solution is the only long-term fix. Were you surprised by any of that?
I'm not surprised at all, because the hostage piece has been consistent and consistent in the U.S. and inside Israel as a this is something that we need to focus on. There are people who are innocent who are being held hostage. And that all ties back to the inciting moment of October 7th.
Right.
And it's something that Netanyahu himself is under attack for by his own people, saying, like, you were prioritizing raising Gaza, you're prioritizing all sorts of other things when you should be prioritizing the safety and security of your own citizens who are held hostage. So I think that is a message that unifies not only the American side of the equation, but also it undermines what Netanyahu is doing every day. We should be able to be upset that 30,000 people have died, right? Like, I still don't understand why the ethnicity or the religion or any of that matters. It's 30,000 people were killed in a war. Like, what's going on here that's something that people are booing or grimacing about or undermining? Like, just, they could have let that slide and lost nothing by letting that slide.
Exactly.
I think the big surprise was, given that last week Biden was talking about this Monday being the time when this deal was going to happen, there's going to be a ceasefire, he's really leaning into it. And we saw Hamas, you know, not show up for their parts of the negotiation the weekend. I really had hoped that this would be a moment where Biden would come out firmly for some sort of timetable, not just the two-state solution. I mean, we've been talking about two-state solutions since the 1970s, right? So
exactly.
Like, a timetable would have been forceful and I think would have been very welcome, especially by the folks like in Michigan who are uncommitted in this past primary.
We've only got about 15 seconds, but do you think he moved the needle on Putin and Ukraine at all?
Yes. And that hopefully this moment we can actually walk out with a budget that includes funding the federal government, but also getting Ukraine the assistance and support that it needs, because that is, you know, now it's Sweden's joined NATO. That battle for democracy on the world stage is saying, no, Putin, you can't just go in and invade a country.
Exactly.
Again, that harkens back to the Hitler references from earlier in the speech.
Nara Hawk, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Twice in 1 week. We're so honored. We got to hit a hard break, but we'll be back in just a moment with your calls on Progress.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Bite clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what other freedom would you take away? With all due respect, justices, women are not without power. One of many lines you'll be hearing quoted a lot tomorrow. We're going to be joined in just a few moments by Congressman Wiley Nickel. Let's go to the phones right now, though. Some of y'all have been on hold forever and really want to weigh in, and we really want to hear from you. We are going to get to everybody's call tonight. Jerry in D.C. on line 6. Thank you very much for calling. You're on Sirius XM.
Yes, I was just calling. I was very proud of Biden tonight and his speech. I thought he did great, even with his stutter. We understood him. He brought in proof of all the things that he has accomplished. He gave a lot of credit to hopefully our future woman president, Vice President Harris, and I was so proud of that. The women's rights, being a child of domestic violence, as well as living through the 60s and everything in the Washingtonian, I was so uplifted today because I've been in so much frustration and I just didn't understand where we were going. And I got
let me ask, Jerry, is your frustration because of how the media has been presenting all of this?
Yes, and how this fake news has become an issue. I mean, they got so to the point of the AI with pictures, and I'm not going to go with, you know, disgracing the voice. We already know what the former president has done. A lot of people don't want to stand up to that because they want to stay in this particular, I don't know what kind of world they are in, but it ain't a reality world.
Right on. Jerry.
I appreciate him bringing in the things he did with the evidence. I have not seen one piece of evidence that these other so-called right-wingers have even brought to the table to prove that any of this was true, which we already know it is not. I have no faith at all in the justice system. I am sorry. Yeah. I do not. Well, I used to. But there's no way I can see this and not see where it's going.
You know? Well, Jerry, I love your call. I have faith in the justice system. I don't have faith in the justice system to do democracy's work for us. If people are counting on the courts to keep Donald Trump from getting a second term, it's not going to work. It comes down to us and people showing up in great numbers. Thank you so much for your brilliant call. Let me go to Michael in White Plains on line 3. Michael, thank you so much for calling Sirius XM. Good evening.
Awesome, John. So glad to be on the line with you.
Honored to have you.
The most entertaining part of the speech for me was watching Kamala and Mike Johnson behind Joe the whole night. And I don't think Mike Johnson realized how much he was nodding in agreement with Joe. I think it was totally subconscious. And I think when he looks at the tape, he's going to be ashamed and embarrassed. And
interesting. And boy, you think his politeness wound up being his politeness is going to get him in trouble with his caucus?
Oh, absolutely. I was just laughing. I couldn't stop commenting on it the whole speech.
Yeah. Search on Twitter, Mike Johnson nodding, you will find hundreds of people commenting exactly the same. And some of them are furious. Laura Loomer tweets in all caps, "Why the fuck is Mike Johnson nodding in agreement with Joe Biden as he attacks Trump as a Putin puppet? What the hell is happening?" Oh, it's like the angels are singing.
Oh, it was so awesome. I mean, that's when I first called in. I don't know how long I was waiting on hold, but that was why I called in. It was at the beginning of the speech.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, he was nodding as Biden attacked Trump. Mike Johnson was nodding. And I think you're right. I don't think he was totally aware that he was doing it.
Oh, absolutely not. And has any president ever called out the SCOTUS like Joe did tonight?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I think, yeah, I think Joe last year, after they had repealed Roe v. Wade, he called them out. But
oh, yeah,
now,
of
tonight,
course,
he,
of course, yeah. But
he called them out to their face. Even, you're right.
That was awesome. And as far as Marjorie Taylor Greene goes, she's just, she's got no civility, no class, and she's just, and to think that people like her and voted her in is just so sickening to me.
Well, sir, I got to be honest with you. I appreciate the call, but I have no class and no civility, and I deeply resent being compared to Marjorie Taylor Greene. So please don't tie my low class, low civility to her, sir. I'm deeply offended.
Oh, okay. And I got to say, I don't know where Stephen got off the other day last night. I was listening to him complaining, and
that's
the guy's
all right.
on all the time, and
that's yeah, he's
showing
all the
nothing
time.
But love, and you give him time to do his rants, and maybe you tried to calm him down, and he took it the wrong way.
I think he was mad that he was kept on hold for too long. You know, we have a lot of great callers, and we always try to get people who don't call as often. So sometimes our regular callers have to wait a little longer, and you know, that's just so we can keep bringing in fresh meat like you. So I really appreciate the call, and I love Stephen. He's brilliant. No worries about that. Thank you so much, Michael, for the call. Let me go over to Lisa in New Mexico over there on line 4. Lisa, thank you so much for staying up late with us on State of the Union night.
Lisa dropped.
Lisa dropped.
Let's say,
yeah, let's go to. Where are you telling me to go? Since
David in Santa Fe.
Okay, David in Santa Fe.
David in New Mexico.
What's up, man?
Hi, John.
Good evening.
Well, you're the caller that just called in. He just covered that already for me about the Supreme Court got thrashed with a velvet hammer.
Yes.
Joe was smooth. You know, he laid it to him, but he wasn't mean. He just...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I would agree. By the way, Clarence Thomas wasn't there to... Clarence Thomas was not there tonight. Go ahead.
I didn't see him.
No, he can recuse himself from some things when he wants.
They look like cowering sheep when the camera went on them when they got called out.
Yeah.
I finally had to put a piece of masking tape on the right side of my screen because I was tired of watching the little Johnson squirm.
No. I don't believe you. Did you have to put tape on your screen when John Boehner was the Speaker of the House? Come on now.
Oh, I remember that too, but I mean, it was just too squirmy and slimy, and it was much better after that.
Yeah,
it makes you kind of got a bunch of callers, John.
We got a lot of calls. It's all right. It makes you long for the dignity of a Denny Hastert. Thank you very much, sir. 866-997-4748. We're very excited to be joined by Representative Wiley Nickel and by our panel as well any minute now. I'm waiting for Chris to tell me what's the haps on that. Let me go to Mitch in Virginia on line 8. Mitch, thank you so much for waiting. You are on Sirius XM.
Hey, John. Big fan of the Fugelsang Fridays on the Daily Beans.
Shucks. Thank you so much. Allison, by the way, Allison Gill herself is going to be here very shortly.
Oh, that's outstanding. I'll hang out.
Great.
Just want to say, like, that is my president. I am so impressed and proud of how he handled himself tonight, how he was able to fend off the idiots on the right. They were just shouting and not carrying themselves well. He hit every issue. He stood firm. I'm just so proud of the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. What was a high point for you? I thought my message to Putin is simple. We will not walk away. We will not bow down. I will not bow down. I mean, he opened with that, and I thought it was really strong. I mean, when he said Donald Trump, he didn't say Trump's name, but my predecessor, former Republican president, tells Putin, do whatever the hell you want. I mean, I thought it was great that he called him out for his actual words.
Yeah, I mean, that was a real powerful moment there. But, like, I don't know if I could pick a high point. You know, he hit all of the issues. and he stood firm and he went off the cuff and he was funny and he was himself. And it was just an amazing performance. And, you know, in my mind, the campaign started tonight and he's going to crush it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I mean, I think that they've been campaigning for quite a while on his team. So we'll see what happens, man. I do think that while he didn't come out and actually say the words ceasefire, which a lot of folks on the left and a lot of Muslim and Arab Americans and a lot of Jewish Americans want to hear, by talking about how they're getting around Netanyahu, he never actually called out Netanyahu in any way, but he did say he talked a lot about his longtime loyalty to Israel. But when he said to the leadership of Israel, I say humanitarian assistance cannot be a secondary consideration or a bargaining chip. Protecting and saving innocent lives has to be priority. As we look to the future, the only real solution is the two-state solution. I got to be honest, I wasn't sure about ceasefire, but I did not think I'd hear two-state solution. And I think he's right. It is the only nonviolent way forward.
Well, totally agree. You know, I would have loved to hear a ceasefire, but two-state solution in the State of the Union, that's the only path forward, and he called it out. And
you're right.
It was awesome.
I'm so glad you liked it, man. Thank you so much. We got to hit a very quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with more of your calls. We are at 866-997-4748. This old man got everybody riled up on the left and the right, didn't he? 866-997-GRIT.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back. We are still catching our breath after that barn burner of a State of the Union, and I'm so pleased to welcome these next two guests to help us break it down. Amisha Cross is a Democratic strategist for national, state, and local campaigns and a regular commentator on NBC, BBC, here at SiriusXM. She's also a former campaign and communications advisor to President Obama and a policy advisor for the National Urban League. Allison Gill, you guys might know as AG, if you're one of her many loyal followers. She's a very successful entertainer and broadcaster and a staunch advocate for resistance. She famously began her first podcast, Mueller, She Wrote, in 2017 out of her kitchen. When the government investigated, Donald Trump had her fired, even though she'd been working with him for more than 11 years. She's a free speech hero, and you should catch her Daily Beans podcast every day. Allison and Amisha, such a pleasure to have you both with us. Welcome.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Ms. Cross, let me start with you. What were your initial thoughts watching the speech? We knew that Joe Biden was going to come out there with a lot of energy. We knew he was going to try to put a lot of concerns to rest about his age. How do you feel he did?
I thought he did amazing. Joe Biden knew what the setup was and what he had to accomplish. This is someone who is tired of being raked over the coals for polls, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, even a year out. That have consistently not been that great. But even though there have been midterm elections, there have been, you know, ballot initiatives and other things where his policies are winning, is not reflective in the polling. And I think that the age comments and the comments about him, not his mental acuity and all of those things that we've seen bubble up over the past year or so, he pretty much let fire to all of it. And I think that he also did a good job of taunting Republicans who tout his policies but don't give him credit for it. When we talk about infrastructure and all the jobs that they have brought, many of them across southern states and across areas that are hyper and supermajority Republican legislatures, these are things that I think that the people need to know. They need to know that the violence numbers that Republicans tout, the crime numbers, are not factual. He's calling them out in real time, and I think that that matters.
Allison, let me get you in on this. I thought at times Biden was toying with them like he did last year. He knows exactly how they're going to respond. And just like last year when he tricked them into protecting entitlements, this time, oh, you guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? I kind of thought that was what your plan was. I mean, I think that old man was having fun up there.
Oh, it was like watching a crowd work expert.
Where you know you've
got your answers to all the outbursts. He was prepared for the classless Marjorie Taylor Greene outburst and put her in her place. I thought that this was an incredible speech, best speech of his life, honestly.
I agree. Most important speech of his life.
And most important, the part that stood out to me was when he specifically addressed the Supreme Court justices and said, women are not without electoral or political power, and you're about to realize how much. And everybody like lost it. The whole room was applauding. Well, except for Mike Johnson, who has the worst poker face on the planet.
Right. Right. He's
nodding when President Biden is talking about how we've got to fund Ukraine and we're not going to put boots on the ground and he's going to not stop at Poland and NATO is important. And he kept nodding.
That's right. He kept nodding. He's a polite man. He's a polite man.
He's going to get in trouble for that.
I encourage everyone to go on Twitter and just use the term search Mike Johnson nodding and see the right wing rage at him. And I mean, Ms. Cross, I don't think he's actually a particularly, open to Joe Biden's policies. I just think he's a polite guy and not that used to being on camera for a sustained amount of time. But wow, Mike Johnson, if I didn't know better, I think he was in agreement with Joe Biden on everything.
Well, I do think there are a few things here. And I think that one of the things that Mike Johnson is trying to do, and he has a very interesting needle to thread here, is before this conversation even started, he had told the Republican flank to not clown, essentially. Don't get up there and embarrass yourselves or me.
That's right.
And acknowledging who the MAGA end of that faction happens to be, that's a tall glass of water to drink on that end. In addition to that, I think that he's trying to showcase some level of decorum. Remember, this was a guy who most people hadn't even heard of before he was chosen to lead this position, which is a role that many people work for their entire time in Congress and will never have. So I think that he's not trying to, shake the cart too much. But on top of that, how can you boo or not nod when we're talking about furthering democracy? We're talking about more American jobs, bringing jobs back to America. The things that he was hitting on are things that Republicans should be proud of, too. These are things all Americans should be proud of. So I don't think he was necessarily going against Republican priorities, because honestly, they should want to bring jobs back here, too. More jobs for American workers, more things made in America equals less dependence, reliance on other nations, less of a bottleneck like what we saw during the pandemic when we don't make anything.
That's right.
Here.
That's so right.
I didn't take issue with him nodding. I do think that some of the people who are on the extreme right wing of the flank will, but it was a showcase of unity that I honestly wasn't expecting. I thought he'd be a little bit more stoic, but I didn't expect him to be negative. I just expected him to be kind of stone-faced.
I mean, it's interesting seeing what I always like watching these to see who claps for stuff and who doesn't. And tonight we saw Republicans refusing to clap for teachers, refusing to clap for raising the minimum wage, refusing to clap for protecting civilians, and of course, giving aid to Gazans or a two-state solution. They didn't have a good time. Allison, I believe that Joe Biden's base is going to be twice as enthused and excited tomorrow. I think they had three big concerns going into this, right? I've been saying they had three big worries going into it. The age, of course, and then drawing the distinctions between himself and Trump. And then, of course, reminding people of all the actual economic progress, because a lot of folks don't see it just yet. How do you think he did on those criteria? And do you think that he accomplished what he needed to as a campaigner, not just as a president?
I think he exceeded what he needed to accomplish tonight. The Republicans wouldn't clap for curing cancer. So it just was the weirdest situation, as Ms. Cross was bringing up. But I think probably who's going to be surprised the most is the people who only watch Fox News, who were expecting to see a frail, old, slow, tired Joe Biden. I think they're going to, it's going to wash over them like, perhaps I'm being lied to. I mean, I guess a billion-dollar a settlement in a defamation case won't do it, but maybe this will. But that's what Biden is after, the people who voted for Nikki Haley. He's after the people who generally don't vote, particularly in, you know, off-year elections. And I think that they will be very surprised, pleasantly surprised, with what Joe Biden had to say tonight. And it just made the Republicans look, it had to be embarrassing to be in that chamber and be a Republican today.
Yeah, and not just because of Marjorie Taylor Greene. By the way, Matt Gaetz got to sit next to Lauren Boebert. So, and you know, she's given out more jobs than any Republican, folks. Amisha, I have to ask you about that last point, because he came in and he opened with January 6th, right there. They want to bury the truth. I will not do that. It's a moment to speak the truth and bury the lies. You can't love your country only when you win. And to Allison's point, I think he's looking at the fact that Donald Trump has been underperforming in these primaries in spite of what the media says. I've been harping on this for 2 weeks. If Joe Biden had only gotten 59% of the vote in South Carolina, we never would have heard the end of it. When he was elected, we saw Democrats losing in down ballot races because so many Republicans voted Biden president and then went Republican all the way down. Do you think he was able? Again, Donald Trump's not trying to get anyone who didn't vote for him last time to vote for him. The Republicans keep auditioning for their own base. Do you think Biden managed to cast a wider net this evening?
I think Biden was managing to cast a wider net, yes. But that wider net, I don't think, is disaffected Haley voters. Disaffected Haley voters are voters who are upset and we're going to be never Trumpers. Most right. of her voting base, judging by where she was drawing it from, were largely Democrats anyway, who were looking for an alternative option. Don't think that she had a lot of Republican support. But with that being said, what Joe Biden also had to do was reinvigorate Democrats, many of which who are younger Democrats, many of which who, you know, have been split on Gaza or just not rocking with the president on Gaza, and hearing him come out full-throatedly and talk about the humanitarian efforts, the things that need to be done there, calling for the two-state solution, talking about the things I think make sense to them, was extremely helpful. He has some issues within his own flank, be it whether it's younger voters, more progressive voters, and individuals of that sort, who he's also got to appease, meanwhile reaching back in and making sure those moderates show up as well. They have very different That's value right. systems and expect different things. I am under no presupposition that Joe Biden's going to be able to pull in Republicans in this tent, because if Republicans have shown themselves to do anything, it is in alignment around Trump, whether they say it out loud or they don't. And I think that we're going to see that again come November, and that they're not going to have a ton of people who are going to sit home. They won't. But my fear is that if things aren't even killed for Democrats, you will have significant portions, and you don't, younger voters, Black voters, other voters who aren't going to necessarily defect to Republican voters. But should they decide that this race is not for them or that he's not speaking to them, they will not show up. That's the people who he has to get.
I have to ask you both, how do you think he did threading the needle on Israel-Gaza? Because obviously he's going out in the front, giving his bona fides about his loyalty to Israel, his career of supporting Israel, while at the same time, a tremendous emphasis on protecting Palestinian lives, providing more humanitarian relief, going around Netanyahu to build a pier, to actually to create a port in Gaza, so we don't need to worry about Egypt or dropping them in with parachutes. And then I know a lot of folks, young people, our Muslim brothers and sisters, our Arab brothers and sisters, were really hoping to hear the words ceasefire. We heard Vice President Harris say it over the weekend. But I did not have Joe Biden calling for a two-state solution on my bingo card. How do you feel he did in terms of allaying the concerns and outrage of his own left flank? Allison?
Well, he did say ceasefire. And I never thought I'd hear that word out of his mouth. So that is a step in the right direction. And something else that I know a lot of people were upset that he didn't mention are the 30,000 dead Palestinians. And he did bring that up. And he brought up the hunger and starvation.
He got heckled for that.
The displacement. He did bring up those issues. And he walked up to the line to basically call out Bibi Netanyahu on these things. So I was glad to hear that. And I'm glad to hear about the port to get humanitarian aid in Gaza and the two-state solution. The only thing that he doesn't address or hasn't addressed that I know is on a lot of people's minds that at least I'm hearing from is sending weapons to continue to send.
Yes, you're right.
I know, I think Ilhan Omar had a sign that said, stop sending bombs. So I think that is the only thing that is left unsaid in this particular, with that particular flank of the Democratic Party.
Amisha, your thoughts?
No, absolutely. I think that this is something that Biden needed to do. There was a lot of pushback that Kamala Harris got over the weekend for talking about a ceasefire at the Edmund Pettus Bridge. There are people who felt as though that was not the place, that was not the time, that was not the audience to have that conversation. It needs to come from, if it was going to come, it needed to come from the President of the United States.
Right.
He chose this time to do it. I thought that that was very smart of him. And that in the way that he did it, calling for the two-state solution, calling for more humanitarian relief, acknowledging that Netanyahu essentially does not want either of those things. He needed to do that to showcase that he knows what's going on the ground, that he knows what you know, the Palestinian people are facing, and that way too many innocent lives have been lost. And I think that that was something that really resonated with people who, quite frankly, were on the fence and some not so on the fence in thinking that either he was obtuse about what was happening or he was absolutely fine with what Netanyahu was doing. And I think that for those younger voters who've been out here protesting at his events, who've been calling him out on social media, that was what they needed to hear.
Amen. It's going to be fascinating seeing all the takes on this tomorrow. Amisha Cross and Allison Gill, I am so honored y'all would stay up late and join us on this exhilarating night of history. Thank you both so much for being here on SiriusXM.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to shift over now to another guest, Wiley Nickel, who is currently serving his first term in Congress as the U.S. Representative of the 13th District of North Carolina. That includes Wake, Wayne, Johnson, and Harnett counties. Before he was elected to Congress, Representative Nickel served as North Carolina State Senator, attorney, a small business owner, and worked for two different White House administrations. After a tumultuous redistricting of the electoral map, Representative Nickel has decided not to run for re-election this year and focuses energy on a strong Democratic push in North Carolina and beyond, with an eye towards that next Senate election in 2026. I am so thrilled and honored to welcome for the first time to this show on SiriusXM, Congressman Wiley Nickel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
Great to be with you. What were your initial thoughts on the speech tonight? What surprised you, sir?
I was just amazed. I think President Biden laid out a common sense vision to move our country forward. He hit all the right notes. And I think the American people saw an amazing choice from a president who's working in a bipartisan way to get things done. And the comparison that is just crystal clear with what we saw, what I was most amazed with was the circus on the Republican side of the aisle.
Sir, what was it like? Can you tell us? I mean, it was shocking to hear it on television, but what was the energy like there?
It was, you know, I was, one of my big takeaways was just the decorum of the room. And you had numerous Republican colleagues shouting, interrupting, trying to interrupt the president. You know, wearing clown outfits. Literally, there was a dude in a T-shirt with a clown bow tie on the Republican side. You know, it just shows that this is a Republican conference in the House that's totally incapable of governing. They're most comfortable with the circus and the, you know, this is not a serious group. But with President Biden, we saw a very serious president who's focused on, you know, protecting the right to vote, protecting the right to choose. Those were the big notes that I heard and I think connected really well.
Congressman, you've been so out in front in terms of supporting Ukraine against this genocidal aggression of Vladimir Putin. I was a bit surprised that the president opened with Ukraine tonight and actually called out Donald Trump, not by name, but how he says to Putin, do whatever the hell you want. How did it feel seeing him put them on the spot on such a deep moral level in the room?
I think it was exactly the right note because Russia is making battlefield gains as we speak, and Ukraine is literally running out of bullets. We should have passed a supplemental appropriation bill to stand with Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan months ago. But my Republican colleagues have become the party of Vladimir Putin and Russia, which to me, Ronald Reagan must be turning over in his grave. And let me just tell you, you know, this is something where we made a real stand here in my office. I sent a letter along with a white surrender flag to every single one of my colleagues in Congress that said, House Republicans, surrender Ukraine to Russia. That's what they are doing with their inaction. And I think the fact that he said that first, that he went right into that, was really more about the urgency of the situation than anything.
Yeah. You tweeted recently, the Super Tuesday results say one thing. The road to the White House runs through North Carolina, and voters will again have the chance to reject Donald Trump and MAGA extremism. I'm very impressed by the character the Republican Party in your lovely state has nominated to be governor. I think he's going to drive voter turnout in the other 49 states. But I thought of that tweet of yours tonight when Joe Biden said, "You can't love your country only when you win." How do you think the conservative voters of your state would respond to a comment like that and to the overall tone in general? I thought it was an incredibly smart campaign speech where he had plenty for those on his side, but he was really reaching out for people who are undecided.
No, and that's the most important place to be right now. And we see it time and time again with President Biden. He's someone who has a record of bipartisan accomplishments. He's someone who my kids can look up to. I mean, that's the level where can your kids look up to the President of the United States? And there's only one choice in this election where you can actually have your kids look up to one of the candidates and feel safe to let them watch him give a speech. So I think that choice is just crystal clear. But North Carolina is going to be the most important state. It's the state that Donald Trump won by the smallest amount of votes of any of the states that he very narrow. The Republicans, again, to your point, did not complain about those results because he won the state. So, you know, we just need to make sure we protect the right to vote and folks get out, because this is going to be a close election in North Carolina. It's going to be a close election in the country.
That's true. So let me ask you then, because you are obviously one of the foremost experts on the perils of gerrymandering. I'm so disappointed still that our media culture hasn't really done a good job of educating all of Americans what gerrymandering is and why it's bad for democracy. And of course, you're not going to be running in 2024 for this very reason. What do people need to understand about gerrymandering and why they need to care about it?
Yeah, you know, well, I'm not going to be on the ballot. I'm certainly not giving up or going out quietly in the fight for fair maps or an end to partisan gerrymandering. And for folks listening, the most important takeaway I have in my time in Congress is gerrymandering is absolutely destroying our democracy. I won a 50-50 seat. It was an R+2 seat. It could have gone either way. The best ideas won at the ballot box. There are less than 10% of the seats in Congress that are competitive in November. The other 90% are guaranteed virtually to be won by red seats or blue seats based on how they're drawn. And there's no incentive for folks to work together like there are for competitive seats like mine. Because Republicans hacked our state's democracy and rigged the system for their candidates, you know, we're going to lose folks like me who are fighting every day to bring our country together, to work in a bipartisan way. And it's the reason why nothing is getting done in Congress is because of partisan gerrymandering. So for folks who want to fix this system, that's the most important thing we can do to, you know, bring our country back to a better place where we're working together.
It seems, sir, watching from a distance, that so many of your Republican colleagues in the House are sort of trapped. I'm sure that there are many of them that would really like to do it the old-fashioned way and work with Democrats to try to bring about solutions to improve the lives of their constituents. But in the current Republican world we live in, working with the other side means you're going to get primaried and they'll find someone louder and meaner and more racist and dumber to try to take you out. It almost seems for many of our Republican friends in the House and Senate, if they do their jobs, they risk losing their jobs. Have your Republican colleagues privately confided any frustrations in you about the way their party is running things?
No, absolutely. And I have some Republican colleagues I serve with who love our country. I'm proud to call them my colleagues. But the things they say publicly and the things they say privately are so different. And I hope I can say this on your show, but
please.
Donald Trump has their balls in a jar. And that's what I see every day playing out. Folks who know what's right, they know what's wrong, and they refuse to speak up.
Sir, not only can you say that on this show, we're going to turn that into a promo. Congressman Wiley Nickel, thank you for your service. Thank you for joining us tonight. This platform is open to you anytime, sir. It's really a pleasure to have you on Sirius XM. And I look forward to seeing what the next 8 months bring.
Hey, sounds great. I'd love to come back anytime.
We'd love to have you. Thank you, sir. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, it's your calls and only your calls at 866-997-4748. I want to know what you liked. I want to know what you wanted to hear and didn't hear. And conservative brothers and sisters, we'd love to hear from you as well. What impressed you? What enraged you? We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back. What a night. I feel like I'm doing TV again over here. We're at 866-997-4748. Let's go to your calls running out the hour. Lisa in New Mexico. Welcome on line three. You're on Progress.
Hi, John.
Hey, Lisa. What'd you think of the speech?
Okay. What are they going to do now? Like, literally, what are they going to do?
They're going to hang Mike Johnson. That's what they're going to do. They're going to hang Mike Johnson for nodding too much.
I know. Really, literally, what are they going to do?
What do you mean? They're going to talk about Hunter Biden. They're going to talk about a border crisis. And they're going to count on the fact that most Fox News viewers didn't watch the speech tonight. That's what they're going to do.
No, about the Ukraine funding and all that.
They're going to do whatever Donald Trump tells them, which is whatever Vladimir Putin tells Donald Trump.
Come on. They can't keep that up.
They're going to try to fire another speaker. I'm telling you, they're going to be so enraged tomorrow. People are going to be talking about having the single vote to draw. I mean, they're going to be a circular firing squad. And it really looked like Joe Biden knew exactly how to handle them. It looked like he knew exactly what would cause their rage. He knew they'd be screaming and heckling and shouting the whole time. And I think he played them. I think he played them for rage. And he made it so commonsensical that it's hard to dispute a lot of his points.
He slayed. It was incredible.
Yeah.
But now,
the low expectations, he played it.
Like, we should shut the fuck up and like do what he says. He's not wrong, but they're not going to do that. I know you're
well,
right.
Well, I can guarantee Donald Trump will do a lot of speeches where he talks about all these vets who came up to him and said, sir, Biden's speech was so bad and your speech is so good. And, you know. Yeah. Listen, I mean, Joe Biden, the smartest thing he did in that speech was he was reaching out to moderates. Donald Trump hasn't learned how to do that yet. And he's surrounded by people who are begging him to do it. And he seems to have about as much impulse control as Marjorie Taylor Greene.
He won't do it. He's a toddler. He won't.
No, he won't. Well, also because he doesn't know how. He's a coward. Donald Trump is going to keep on playing to his base over and over because he's addicted to the applause. He's addicted to the easy laugh line. He's not going to challenge anybody's feelings, and he's not going to try to get liberals or independents to vote for him. He's going to try and scare people. He's going to try and smear. But he's going to play to the base because he plays it safe.
And no one else. It's crazy to me. It's crazy.
I don't understand. Like, if I was advising Donald Trump, I'd be telling him, you've already got the MAGA folks. It's time to get people who aren't MAGA on your side. And a 16-week abortion ban's not going to do it. People are just going to hear the words abortion ban. I don't know. I mean,
he literally told them to fuck off. If you voted for Nikki Haley,
I know.
Bye.
I mean, he needs those people. He lost over one third of the Republican electorate in those primaries. Some of them were open primary states where there were Democrats voting, no doubt, but not all of them. And again, there are Republicans that will never vote for Donald Trump in every state. They went for Biden last time. That's who Trump should be going after. But you're brilliantly right. He told those people to fuck off and that we're going to drive you from the party. So, OK, keep on making your tent smaller, man. See how it works for you.
Good job. Yay.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to hear from you. Have a great evening. Bye. I appreciate your call. Frank is on the line from Austin on line 4. Frank, thank you so much for waiting. You're on Progress.
Is that for real? You got me?
You're on the air, brother. Welcome. How are you, sir?
I didn't know that. All right,
that's
well,
okay.
I was waiting for a long time.
We waited for you, bro. We waited for you.
Brother, I love... That's crazy. All right. Well, I love the show. I'll make it
thank
quick.
You.
Biden...
yeah. Save the Union.
Tonight with my,
yes,
my,
sir.
I watched it with my 13-year-old son. I made him watch it.
What did
and,
you think?
It's interesting, and I don't try to force his feelings or thoughts anyway. Yeah,
okay.
I'm a single father. He lives with his mother half time, with me half time. She's a Trump supporter.
Wow.
Leaning.
Fascinating.
And he knows who's mean and who's not, and who's an asshole and who's not. Like he knows that. He got up and clapped with me when Biden was saying, man, like, hey, look, I'm for you guys. And like, he knows the difference between a bully and somebody that's not a bully. And I'm just
that's
really
my kind
proud
of 13 year old. Wow.
Yeah, for real. And I know you, wow. I know you got a your father for a young kid too. So,
yeah.
I just want to, I thought Biden did great tonight. That's all I gotta say. He did great.
I'm representing
from Austin, Texas, baby. You know it. I know you love this.
I love Austin. Hey. We're trying to come to Austin. We're going to a lot of cities this year. I'm begging Stephanie to bring us back to Austin. It's been too long since we played that town. So doing our best.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, my compliments to your son. Thank you very much, Frank. Let me go to Houston, who is not in Texas, but is in California. Houston on line 5. Thank you so much for waiting on hold. You're on Progress.
Hey, John. How are you tonight?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing well. I really like Joe Biden's speech. Before I get to that, I want to say to all my brothers and sisters out there in red, blue states and blue dots in red states,
mm-hmm.
I feel for you. I lived 14 years in Mississippi, 9 of those in a dry county, where there was a Baptist church on every corner, and I'm so glad to be in California. So my heart and my prayers are with y'all. Stay in there. Hang tough. You know, we'll make it right. Anyway, tonight, the speech, I couldn't notice that Speaker Johnson was so uptight that I know his son's phone is blowing up from all of porn alerts. It's sad.
I was trying to make that joke. I was trying to work that joke out in my head. You beat me to it.
Well, I'm sorry.
No worries.
It's a good joke. Anyway, I really like an aspect of Biden's speech I liked.
Tell me.
It's him being 81 and me being born on December 29th, 1980, which means I'm an exennial, which means I'm like right here on the verge of everything. Like, when I was 7, Nintendo came out. When I was 16, the internet came out. When I was like 19, cell phones came out. So I've been through everything. And see that man adapt his message? To see him play to that more modern kind of TikTok kind of thing, to just lay it out as plainly as he did, really made me feel good. And confident about what's coming up in November. And I just want to say, hats off to him for being an elder of humanity, because that's what he is. He's not old. Mm-hmm. He's just an elder of humanity.
No, he's old. We can listen, dude. He's old. I'm not shying away from that. They're both old. Okay, and it's not a bad thing. I love a lot of old people.
I'm 43, and I'm gonna say this. You know what the world and America needs right now? They need old. They need someone.
They need wise. They need wise.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting to. They need wise. They need someone that knows what the fuck is going on. And, man, love you. Have a good
night. Thank you. I got no problem with 80. Harrison Ford is 80. I'd vote for him to be president in a second. Martin Scorsese, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards. I mean, Keith's not even alive and he'd be a better president than Trump. So thank you so much. Let's go to Rob in Orlando. Rob, welcome on line 2. You've been on hold forever. Thank you so much for your patience. What was your take on tonight?
Oh, gosh, John, it's so funny. The Democrats, you fund Ukraine, who is a shithole country. You could
our ally, the Democratic ally that has had hundreds of thousands slaughtered by an invading force, but go on.
Who cares?
People with souls care. You keep claiming, hang on a second, Rob. You call here and claim to be Christian, and now you're delighting in the suffering and slaughter of children and the rape of women. I know you're a better man than that. Come on, you care. You care about civilians being murdered in Ukraine.
I'm getting to the point of where you don't care. You could have taken the money that you were giving to Ukraine, and you could have built a border wall to help stop Lake and Riley from dying.
That wouldn't have worked because that wouldn't have helped because a border wall wouldn't have kept this guy out because border walls don't work. And B, this guy was in the country because Donald Trump cut a deal before he left office in January of 21 with the Venezuelan government to not deport anyone from Venezuela. That guy, that illegal, was still in the country because of Trump. And y'all are exploiting a murder to try to help a horrible person. And I know you care about Ukraine people. People, Rob, I know you're not as soulless as you pretend to be on these calls. I know you've got a heart in you. I know you care about the children and women who are murdered in Ukraine. I don't believe that you don't care.
I know you don't care because 170 Dems did not vote for the Lake and Riley Act. They could have stopped it.
Dude, we're talking about Ukraine. We're talking about Ukraine. I know that you care
about
those
Lake
people.
And Riley.
I know you care about her. I care about her. But see, you began this conversation by making it about how you didn't care about Ukraine. I'm following up on that because I don't believe you're as godless and cruel as you pretend to be on these calls. I think you act this certain way, but I think you've got a heart. I think you've read parts of the Jesus parts of the Bible, and I think you care about the people of Ukraine. Can't do you? You do care about those people being murdered.
We should not be funding these people.
Why? You support Vladimir Putin and what he's doing to the people of Ukraine?
What if you just nuke both countries? What matters?
There you go.
I know you don't mean that either. You don't know what to say, so you say something stupid and cruel. I'm sorry, Rob. No, have a good night. I don't believe you're the bastard you pretend to be. I think you've got a heart in you. I think once you were a nice little boy whose mom loved him. I don't think you're as cruel as you pretend. It's a lot of macho posturing bullshit, and it's beneath you. Let's go to Mitch in Kent State. Mitch, welcome. I'm sorry you've been on hold forever. What did you think of the speech?
Thank you. Did you see what badges they're wearing tonight that said the Biden border on them? Well, I got a badge for them, too. How about Trump Leavenworth? Okay, so there you go.
Nice.
John, you know, the one thing that really hit me so much was he always used a line, history is watching. History is watching. He used that repeatedly.
Yeah.
Kind of harken back to, you know, the world is watching back in 68. But
yeah.
It is true. Here is watching, and we all have our eyes focused on it. So, you know, it's live and in person, and what we're doing. The other thing, John, is what was the other one? Johnson, he did applaud. He actually applauded when Biden mentioned about the history has no part in the elections.
A couple times he applauded.
Yeah,
I know. I literally think the guy's just too polite. I literally think he's too polite. He's going to have to mend some fences tomorrow. But he told them to behave themselves. And you can tell how much they respect him in his caucus. It's going to be ugly tomorrow. He's got a one-way ticket to Kevin McCarthy Island.
And then, you know, John also did quick polling here. Biden is getting a 60-65% approval on the speech. So
it was a good speech.
One more thing, John.
Really quick.
Barry Gibb. You know what? There was this thing about the Bee Gees. You know, you either love them or you hate them.
Right? I got to go. Okay,
Mitch, read the room.
Can we talk about the Bee Gees tomorrow? We're talking about State of the Union tonight, Mitch. I love you. I love you so much. Thank you. And thank you all for listening. Thank you to all of our guests, Amisha Cross and Representative Wiley Nickel, Nyara Hawk, and of course, Allison Gill. Thank you to Chris Hauseld and Thea Harper, the most dangerous production team in radio. I will see you guys tomorrow morning on Stephanie, tomorrow afternoon on Daily Beans. I'm John Fugelsang. Peace.